whole story in this verse right here. Do you love the appearing of Jesus? Love the appearing. 4 and verse 8. We'll read it in Greek and then we'll go look at it. Okay. Loi pon. Apokete. Moi. Ho. Tes. Dikaiosines. Stephanos. Hon. Apodose. Moi. Ho. Kyrios. En. Ekene. Te. Hemera. Ho. Dikaios. Krites. U. Monon. De emoi ala kai passe tois agapekosi tain epiphaneion. Now that was all totally shockingly a mystery to some of you. Okay, the last one is epiphaneion. Altu. For the ones remaining, that's what it says, there is laid up for me the crown, the Stephanos of righteousness, which he shall render, he shall give. That's the word you were asking me about. It comes from apo and didomi. Okay? He shall render, he shall give to me, the Lord, in that the day, the righteous judge. Look at that word krites. Krites? That's where we get our word critic. Okay? Who, not only, but to me, but also to all of the ones having loved the appearance. Now let's look at this chart up here. Now that young lady there doesn't have one of these charts. We'll get one of them to you before you leave tonight. On this chart tells the whole history of mankind. Okay? The whole history of man. From eternity past, where God did what did God do in eternity past? What are some of the things he did? He created angels. All right, what else did he do? What did he do to you there in eternity past, Gary? You remember, this is part of that God's eternal purpose. What did he do to you, personally, to you in eternity past, before you were ever born or anything? Huh? He knew you. And he put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that neat? You didn't become until way over here someplace. Through all of that time, but he knew you back then, and he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, we talk about different ages, different dispensations, which we're talking about on Tuesday. We talked about the dispensations. And what the Apostle Paul is talking about here is rewards. Rewards. What are rewards? Rewards. Is that salvation?
No.
Brother Roger, it's not salvation at all, is it?
No, that's a gift.
Salvation is a gift of God. That's nothing you can do for it, nothing you can do to get it. Matter of fact, you couldn't even go to God, could you? No. God calls you with His Spirit. He calls you and He gives you faith. If you surrender to Him, that's the only thing you do is surrender. God gives us all volition. Volition. What's volition? Sharon.
Free will.
Free will. All right, that's our will. Do angels have volition? Do spirits have volition? Do animals have volition? Do all mankind have volition? Yes. All right. Volition. Volition. You have, that's the most dangerous gift God ever gave anybody. All right? Now, you're a triune, aren't you? Okay. What part of you does God own? If you're saved, He owns all of you, doesn't He? All of you. Okay. But what does God do when you're saved? Here you are. You're a triune creature, aren't you? Huh? Your body. Everybody raise up the body, the right side of your body. All right, that's what you do. This is the body. We see this, don't we? All right, how about your spirits? Show me your spirits. Is that as easy? Huh? You're breathing, aren't you? You're moving? Then your spirit is there with you. Because the body doesn't do anything without the spirit because it looks like it's asleep, doesn't it? Or dead, you want to call it. How about the soul? Do we visit each other's souls? We do, don't we? We visit each other's souls. That's how we... And your soul is what? Your personality. Your personality is in your soul, so that's what we get there. Now, when God saves us, He puts a brand new spirit in us because the spirit of rebellion is in you when you're born in it. Where does that come from? From Adam. All right, it just passes down. Now, can a woman pass on that Adamic nature to a child? No. A woman can't do that. A woman, not possible for a woman to pass on the Adamic nature to a child. It comes through what, Brother David?
The man.
The man. And how does it come? Through what?
The blood.
The blood in the child. A woman does not contribute any blood to the child at all. And the infection is in the blood. Look it up on the internet. If you want to read a whole book about it, it's The Chemistry of the Blood by M.R. Nahan. Okay? Dr. M.R. Nahan, Chemistry of the Blood. Tell you all about that. That's how Jesus could be born without sin. Because He had no earthly father. He produced Himself from God, and the blood of God was in Him, which did not have the infection of sin in it. Now, after we're saved, we either serve the Lord. I talked about that. I believe I did that yesterday, didn't I, Brother Roger? Didn't we talk about this yesterday? A little bit about works and salvation and all this, what you do. And I, in the last two classes I've done on Revelation, I did the same thing. We talked about this. There are two outer darknesses in the Bible. Did you know that? What's outer darkness? What is outer darkness? One is a place in hell, isn't it? It's outer darkness. Where, in Jude and in 2 Peter, it tells us that angels are kept in this pit, this bottomless pit of gloom and darkness. Okay? But we're talking about rewards right here. In a Hebrew wedding, later times, they used to have tents, didn't they? And sometimes they would build walls around these tents. Cindy, have you been to the Middle East?
Yeah.
All right. Did you ever go see some of those places where the shepherds reside and they've got these walls around them? And what do they have planted on these walls? Thorn bushes. Thorn bushes. Okay, thorn bushes. So they can't get in, so they can't get out. Thorn bushes, sharp thorns. What kind of bush that was burning when Moses saw that bush? What kind of bush was it, according to Hebrew? A blackberry bush. See, now you're happy with that? You learned that. It was a blackberry bush. That bush that was burning when Moses came upon the burning bush was a blackberry bush. Now, blackberry bushes don't usually burn unless they're totally dead, do they? But this bush kept on burning. It kept on burning and kept on burning. He saw that. That's what attracted him to that. Attracted him because God was calling him to do a job, wasn't he? In the church age, we have a job to do, don't we? There's another outer darkness, too. Now, according to what stage of the Hebrew world you're in, but later on when Jesus came along, how many have you seen these gated communities? All right, they've got gates around. You go in and out of a gate, don't you? Well, that's what this was at one time. This was a gated community. A whole family lived here. Okay? And when they had a wedding, what stages of the wedding were there? Do you remember what stages of the wedding? We're talking about all of this in this verse right here.
Well, this betrothal.
There was the betrothal. How did that happen?
I know that's a year before the wedding.
Well, it might be 30 years before the wedding. Not 30, but 10 or 12 years before the wedding sometime.
The parents
sometimes, when the children were babies, they would betroth one baby to the other one. And right then, they'd agree on a price, whether the kid got was ugly when he was born or not. We're stuck. Okay? Well, the ones remaining, there is laid up for me a righteous crown, which he shall render to me, the Lord, in that day. The day of what? Okay, this is what? What day of this is? Is it the white throne judgment? No. Where is it? Where's this going to happen? Huh? Right, thank you, Cindy. Right here at the rapture. People are going to go up into heaven. And there's going to be a wedding feast in heaven. That's what the Apostle Paul, loving the appearance. And that word loving there, agapekosi. What is that? It is a deity, plural, masculine, perfect participle acting, having loved. How many of you are really looking for the appearing of Jesus today? Really looking forward to it. I was talking to young people. Sometimes I'm talking to young people. Talking to young people that want to get married. I hope Jesus doesn't come back before we get married. Now, is that a... Well, but isn't that a legitimate thing? The whole joy is tied up in that right now. I mean, it's really... You've got a nephew that's going to get married, don't you? And they're really looking forward to this at the end of the month. See, I'm going to take part in that thing. They're really looking forward to this. How many of you are really loving the appearance of Him? That's epiphany. That's epiphany. The epiphany, the appearance of Him. Well, right here at the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. See, this is Paul writing again. Let's go there for just a moment. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Yeah, right up there on your little deal. If you learn to read these little scriptures here, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Okay. Yeah. It says here. Paul is getting ready to die, isn't he? This is his last will and testament, by the way. He is getting ready to lay this old body aside and go be with the Lord. He's ready to do that. And he says that in the first few verses right above where we are. 4:13. Let's go to 4:13 for just a moment. We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. That's ignorant, not knowing. Brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do the rest of that have no hope. Now, where do you usually hear this verse read? At funerals. All the time at funerals, isn't it? All the time at funerals. Now, what had happened with the Apostle Paul when he wrote 1 and 2 Timothy? You remember? First of all, he tells you how to behave yourself in the house of God. That's what 1 Timothy is about. And 2 Timothy is about the coming of the Lord and continue how to teach, what to teach. And there were some problems at that period of time, weren't there? What was the problems? What's the whole writing of 2 Timothy about? What was in old Paul's crawl? There were people that were teaching that the Lord had already come. The rapture was already done, the coming of the Lord already gone, and they were left behind. And Paul really condemned them, didn't he? And he's still on that same subject right now where he's talking about the appearing of the Lord, the epiphany. Now, the parousia of the Lord is right here. Two different Greek words. Parousia. Parousia. What about that word parousia? You know anything about that there, David? You're my oldest Greek student in here. Parousia. Cindy. Para means what? That's a preposition? Yeah, para is on the front of it. What does that mean? Beside. All right? Beside. And then usin. Usia. It comes from, the root of it is Amy. What? What is it, David?
I was going to ask him something.
All right. Parousia. What does that mean, Cindy? Parousia. Sharon, do you know what that means?
No.
That means beside being. It means beside to be. Okay? Now, this is what we call the secret coming to Jesus. Who's going to see him here? All the saved in the church, the parousia. But we have also here the epiphany. The parousia is the rapture. And that's the rapture of all the saved and the church also. 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's go on. We don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, that those who are asleep that may not grieve as do the rest of the world that have no hope. For we all believe that Jesus died. Now, this is, he's recounting what here? This is the gospel. Okay? If you want to be saved and go to heaven, you've got to believe this. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. That's the gospel also. Paul's telling that church at Corinth. And now he's telling the Thessalonians what the gospel is also. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Now, I drew this little thing up here. And here you have the mind and you have the soul. The psyche. How many ever heard of psychologists? You know what psychologists do?
They study sick people to figure out how healthy people live.
What does the psychologist do? What does literally a psychologist do, Sharon? They deal with your soul. They deal with your soul. Is that the spirit? No. Is that the body? The soul affects the body greatly, doesn't it? The words psychology or psychologist or psychiatric or whatever you want to call it, that all comes from the Greek word psyche. This word right here. That's it. Psyche. That's the soul. Now, what part of the people that are dead in Christ, what part of them is with the Lord? The soul and the spirit. The soul and the spirit. Okay? Does the soul feel? Does the soul know? Go back to Genesis 1:26. It says in there, and God said, let us make man in our what? And our shadow casting likeness. And our blood flowing likeness. And our soul likeness. And our sovereign likeness, okay? Let him have dominion. This is soul. This is dominion. This is the soul having dominion. And volition also. That's soul. Now, those that are in heaven today that are have died are in heaven with their souls and their spirits. And that's what's there. Do they know each other? Luke, the 16th chapter, is the best explanation of all of this, okay? We're talking about the parousia coming of the Lord. Then we're going to talk about the epiphany coming of the Lord. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him with him. Bring what with him? Those that have fallen asleep. What part of those? The souls and the spirits of those. This is very beautiful. Because in the parousia coming of Jesus, he's going to come above the earth, and he's going to just absolutely, it's going to rapture. Now, a lot of people say the word rapture is not in the Bible. Harpazo, rapare. Rapare is that's the Greek word, the Hebrew word for hapakazo in Greek, which means to snatch away. He's to snatch away. Rapture. Now he's going to snatch away those out of the graves. He's going to snatch them out of the graves. People, this last week, people always ask me, what do you think about cremation? I can't afford to bury my family, so I need to cremate them and have them in an urn and maybe go set that aside someplace or whatever, port in the ocean or whatever. Is God going to have any trouble at all finding your DNA, wherever you put it, whatever you do with it? Have you known of people being out in the ocean and being eaten by animals?
But that's,
by 30 or 40 different fish?
That's your body.
That's your body.
You're not doing it to your soul and your spirit.
No, that's not. The soul and spirit have nothing to do with it. But is that body identically, is that yours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, sure is. Is God going to raise that body? He's going to raise that body and change it in a one flap of the gnat's wing. How many of you had a gnat fly in your ear? One flap of the gnat's wing, that's how fast he's going to do it. This is a parousia coming. A parousia coming of the Lord. He's going to bring the souls and the spirits of those that are dead in Christ with him. Those that have fallen asleep in Jesus, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, now what does that mean? Still breathing, still kicking, whatever, we're still here, okay? We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, now are we going to live that long? Maybe. Well, things look really close, don't they? I said that in 1980 when I wrote my doctor's thesis on the book of Revelation. I thought it was, yes.
Is this the same time as the trumpet sound? Is this the same one?
Yes, there's going to be a trumpet. There's going to be a trumpet sound. Yeah, a different trumpet. There's different trumpets. There's trumpets over here also. Okay. Don't get this one mixed up with that one over here.
That's what I was trying to get straight.
Okay. There's three ideas of the rapture. One here, which I believe. One here, which is possible. And one here, which I don't believe is possible at all. Because we've got real problems with that one. There's some indicative problems there. What?
Are you talking about pre-med and post?
Yeah, pre-med and post. Tribulation.
Okay.
Here's just something But when you're talking about the rapture, I was thinking about this earlier, and I'm thinking, all of a sudden, a problem came up in my head. Because I look forward to it, and all that one. But then I thought, I've got young kids. I mean, well, I got a 17-month-old.
Yeah.
The point is when there's a rapture, well, the 17-month-old does not accept Christ.
So what?
That's my question.
Yeah.
That's my question.
I believe that the Lord will snatch all of them up under the age of accountability. I taught a class on this here a couple of years ago. Were you here, Cindy? I think you were here, Cindy. We went through about 20 scriptures in the Bible that prove that all little children under the age of accountability, all those that never come to the age of accountability, is going to get to go up.
Okay,
now, if you're a super lapsarian,
what?
If you're a super lapsarian, they believe that you're either created damned or saved.
Oh, okay.
You're either elect or the reprobate, okay? And they say that about children, too. I don't believe that personally, okay? But I'm telling you it's there, okay? Just like the mid and the post-tribulation rapture is there. We'll look at that just a little bit, because we're talking about the parousia now, and that is this, or this. It's possible here. What's the reason for the tribulation period, Brother Rock?
To get the Jews squared away.
Get the Jews straightened back out. Now, if you believe in replacement theology, you have no problem with that because you don't think the Jews are going to get straightened out. And if you don't believe, if you're amillennialist or postmillennialist, you won't believe the millennium is there at all, okay? Just forget all that stuff, okay? But if the Lord comes back here, we got 7 years behind that. We know that there are people going to be saved during the tribulation period. How many people are going to be killed? Gentiles. 5 out of 6 Gentiles are going to die. Okay? How many Jews? 2 out of 3 Jews are going to die. So the world's going to be depopulated during this time. But a lot of these are going to be martyrs because they believe. As in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. What happened in the days of Noah? How long did they have to believe? How long did they have to believe?
As long as they could tread water.
Let's look at it. Who was the first one to preach the coming doom, the coming judgment of God? Who was the first one to preach that?
Enoch.
How long did he preach?
900 years.
How long did Enoch preach?
300 years.
300 years. He named the son, when he's dead it shall come to pass. How long did that boy live? 969 years. So we have how much together than those two things? Where the boy, we don't know when the boy is born exactly in there right now, but that's over 1,000 years that the flood was coming. Did they believe? How many people got on the boat?
Eight.
Plus One guy got blasted, and that's when Enoch. He didn't get flooded out. He got raptured. And Enoch is the type of what in the Bible? The rapture. Now, by two or three witnesses, let everything be said. Who's the other type of the rapture in the Bible? Elijah. God. I don't believe they're going to be two witnesses in the Revelation either, because that would do violence to what type they are. Okay? Let's go on. If it's the middle of the week, we know that only saved people are going to go into the millennium in their bodies, don't we? And the amillennialists will say, well, that's very carnally thinking, when they have a real millennium on the earth. Well, the Bible teaches that. We have the Davidic and we have the Abrahamic covenant, which are what kind of covenants? What kind of covenants are they? Unconditional covenants. These will be fulfilled. Okay? This is part of your Tuesday, see? Well, if the rapture's here, you've got 7 years for people, some people to get saved. And there's still going to be some people left on this earth that are saved. To do what? Going to the millennium. Okay? And if the rapture's in the middle of the week, is there any problems with that? I don't believe it is, but it could be. It's possible to be. The rapture's possible to be in the middle of the week. Some people say the tribulation period. The tribulation of the great starts right here. Israel has built a temple in the first part. They have a 7-year contract with the what? The Antichrist or what else? Or the Mahdi. Okay? The Antichrist in the Bible is going to have a 7-year contract with Israel. The Mahdi in the Islamic end times will make a contract. He will rule for 7 years. And the Bible talks about a beast, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And the Islam talks about their beast. Their beast is going to mark all the true believers of Islam with a mark on their foreheads, which is what? How many of you know what that mark is? What is it, Brother Roger?
No God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet.
There's no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. Do they do this today?
Yeah.
All the jihadists, when they die, they have this on them someplace. Today. Yes.
Like a tattoo?
No, it's that banner around their head. And that thing on their arm. These people that are protesting, they'll say, no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. All of these, the ones that kill people over that so-called Quran that's flushed down the toilet, which didn't even happen. When they did that cartoon of Muhammad, and all these people died, and all these people, that's all of these armbands and these headbands. They're the true believers of Islam, okay? That's what they are. What else is going to come up about according to Islam? We got the Mahdi. He's going to be 40 years old when he begins to reign for 7 years. There's a beast, which is a weird-looking thing, the head of a bull, the horns of a stag, the ears of an elephant, and the eyes of a pig, and the neck of a ostrich, and the front part of his body of a lion, and the back part of his body of a cat. He's got the color of leopard on him. He's got the tail of a ram, those big old ram tails, you know, the big fat ones used to have, and the legs of a camel. And he's going to be invincible. And where's he going to come from? The Bible says he's going to come out of the desert. What's the Sea of Sands? That's the desert. Okay? That's the desert. The Sea of Sands, the desert. Okay? Now, the Bible says he's going to come out of the desert. Islam says their beast is going to come out. And he's going to mark all the true believers. The Bible says the beast is going to mark all of those that are the Antichrist. Okay? Now, all these people are going to be commingling on earth at this time. And what are these people going to do? What's going to be the form of capital punishment? And it's going to be televised all over the world. Beheading. Who's doing that today? Who's doing it today?
Sharon, can you go over there and bump that down just a couple of little notches?
Is there a book that talks about the I don't want to be a comparative or a contrast, you know, because what you're describing is quite interesting, thinking about, because I've never thought about it before, is when you, like, for example, the Antichrist and then the Mahdi,
uh-huh.
And you're bringing this other stuff in. Is there something, someplace that, a book that puts it all together?
Go to Google. Go to Google and Google the Mahdi, the Beast, and Issa. And it'll tell you exactly what I'm telling you from their own books and tell you what part of it comes. If you go to my website, where you go to the Kingdom Studies, you'll see me writing it out in Arabic and all the places where it is quoted. Okay? That's on the ones I'm doing, the Apocalypse and the Kingdom Studies right now. I was on page 6, class number 60 today. Okay? If you want to really realize and see what Islam is and what Muhammad is, get the book, The Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq. It is a pro-Islamic book, but it tells you what happened. Really. Cindy, have you got to it yet?
I just started.
Just started. It's exciting, isn't it?
What?
Ibn Ishaq. I-B-N Ishaq. It means Isaac, son of Isaac, is what it actually means. Ibn Ishaq. If you put down The Life of Muhammad, it's the earliest history of Muhammad's life. It tells you what he really did.
Now, would the Muslim or the knowledgeable Muslim, would they accept that author?
Oh, yes. They don't agree with everything he says, but he's really there.
Okay, no, I'm just thinking.
Yeah, this is a pro-Islamic book. The guy, Ibn Ishaq, keeps calling Muhammad the prophet, the apostle of God. Everything he does, and a verse came down. It tells you the whole Quran is in there. It's there. And what he's doing when it's happened, it tells you why these verses came down. The very context of why the verses came down. The Quran doesn't tell you that, but Ibn Ishaq does. He tells you why. Let's go on a little bit further. And then they have the Issa of the Muslims. The Muslim Issa, the Jesus of the Bible, what's he going to do? Come back and rapture his people. What's he going to do right here in the middle of the week? What's he going to do? He's going to save the Jewish nation. Okay, he's going to save the Jewish nation right there. Now, the Issa, the Jesus of the Quran, is going to do what? When he comes back, he's going to kill all the Jews, then he's going to kill all the Christians, and he's going to break all religions until they bring in the last caliphate. When was the caliphate dissolved in the world? How many of you know what the date was? March the 3rd, 1922 was when it was dissolved. The book of Revelation says there were seven kings. Six were, one is to come, and that was the Ottoman Empire. And then it will be a revised Ottoman Empire because it's going to be the seventh. The seventh empire that ruled over the land of Palestine was the Ottoman Empire. Just check history. And it says that same king is going to rise again. That same kingdom is going to rise again. The seventh kingdom, which was the Ottoman Empire. The Bible and the Quran coexist as in eschatology. What is good in the Bible is bad in the Quran. What is bad in the Bible is good in the Quran.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Yeah, they're juxtaposition, parallel, but they're opposites.
Yeah, well, that's what I found really good.
Yeah.
What I liked because of the scene with the Mahdi, thinking about how instead of thinking that the Islam has it completely crazy wrong. Oh, no, it doesn't, as you were explaining with the Mahdi being the Antichrist, and it fits into that way.
It's you just look at it and see if it doesn't jump out and slap you in the face a whole lot and scare the daylights out of you.
No, hopefully I won't be here for it.
Could it happen today? Could it happen? What do we believe in? The imminent return of Christ. If you believe in the middle of the week, you don't believe in the imminent return of Christ. If you believe in the post-tribulation rapture, you can't believe in the imminent return of Christ, can you? Eminent means what? Threatened to happen at any time. At the first of the week is the only time with the imminent return of Christ. We don't know when it's going to happen. But after the Lord comes back and raptures his people, or if the tribulation begins and the covenant and the temple is built in Jerusalem, what is Islam going to do? They're going to move the Kaaba rock from Mecca to where? Jerusalem, and they're going to build a temple. The Jews are looking for the temple to be built. There's going to be a 7-year contract made. That's what you call a Hudna treaty. A treaty for an advantage. And then you break it. Okay? The middle of the week. Is it possible for the rapture to take place in the middle of the week? It is possible. Why? Why is it possible? Because there's still people going to be left on the earth to populate, save people to populate the millennium. If the rapture is here, all the saved people on earth are going to be raptured. All the dead in Christ are going to be raptured. Who's going to go in the millennium? Tell me. Who the Mia? Nobody. So that's the problem. That's the real problem. The only way to get around, they say only the elect of the elect go out. Who's the elect? Tell me who the elect are. What were I talking about you, Carrie, in the very beginning? Are you the elect? Yes, you're the elect. Your names were written in the Lamb's book. All the people that are going to be saved, that's the elect.
In other words, with that, with number seven here, there's not going to be a lot of people at the beginning.
There's like going to be a lot of people die during this period of time.
Well, yeah, if you say 5-6 out of Gentiles and 2 out of 3 Jews.
By the end of this time, that's what happens.
Right, that's, I mean, there's not
but there's
going to
be a few of the army of the Antichrist or the Mahdi or whoever this person is that Jesus is going to thrash in Revelation the 19th chapter, verse, starting in verse about 10, 11, 12, who's there, okay? We see all the book of Revelation there. We go into the book of Revelation and we see all this from Revelation the 6th chapter in verse 1. We see the Antichrist or the Mahdi coming out. The Mormons believe that they're going to have a prophet from among them that's going to come forward and that he's going to save America, according to Joseph Smith's prophecy in 1800 and something, that he's going to come out on a white horse, Revelation 6 chapter, that he's going to bring America back to the Constitution. Is that what Glenn Beck says? That's what Glenn says. Bring America back to the Constitution. He's a Mormon. Bring America back to the Constitution and bail America out and put it back, and then they'll change the headquarters from Washington, D.C. to Salt Lake City. That's the prophecy. That's their prophecy. What do the Jehovah Witnesses believe about the end times, this rapture, and the Epiphany and the Parousia? What do they believe? They believe that the 144,000 have already gone to heaven, and there were truthful, serious Jehovah Witnesses, but you've got to go through this period of time there. Why do you think those kingdom halls don't have any windows in them? They're going to hide out. The Mormons prepare for how many years of tribulation?
7 years.
See all this business? Seventh-day Adventists have got a special place in all this time. All of these people in the end time. End time eschatology, okay? Well, in the middle of the week, something's going to happen there real bad. The Antichrist is going to stand in the temple area and say that he is God, and that's going to trigger something among the Jews. Two-thirds of them have been killed, so nearly two-thirds of them at this time, but the rest of them, the ones that really believe, are going to do what? They're going to flee to the desert. They said, don't go down in your house, just take off and jump from rooftop to rooftop and hit the ground running, because you don't have time to go back and get your coat or anything. And woe to those who had children during this period of time. Are babies born during this time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Weddings take place.
Oh, it's bad. This, you won't be here. But I'll tell you what I think the biggest revival, this is my opinion now, this is my opinion. I think the largest revival outside of that ark was when the raindrops stopped falling and started thundering and lightning, which they'd never seen before. A lot of people got saved on the outside of that ark, but they get in the ark. No, the ark was gone. What does Noah mean? Noah. That's his name. Let's go. Noah. Like he clearly told you. Remember that, Carrie?
I do, but I can't remember what it's called.
Cindy?
Peace and safety.
If they were in the ark, they had peace and safety. If you're in Jesus, you have peace and safety. The ark was a type of the rapture. Okay? Right on the outside, there was a large number, and Peter says that Jesus went down and preached to them that were disobedient in what? In the days of Noah. So some of them got saved on the outside of the ark. They died in the flood, the judgment that came, but some of them got saved. Okay? I think right here a whole lot of people are going to get saved right there, but what's going to happen? This is when it's going to be illegal to be a Christian. Let me ask you something today. Can you take your Bible to colleges and to schools and open it up and read it out loud and start preaching out there and everything?
Yeah.
Can you take the Quran? Can you go and pray and do all and flash the Quran around and do all this? Can you do that? Do you understand where we are? Do you understand? That's Sharia law. We're under Sharia law, just in case you don't know it. Just in case you don't know it. Stages of it. We're in stage 3 of the stage 5 takeover, okay? This is planned. They planned this, okay? Can this happen? Here we have it happening. Israel has a temple. If the parousia, the epiphany, or the parousia coming, the silent coming of Jesus when he raptures the people away now, 7 years of tribulation takes place on earth. All these catastrophes happen. And then God causes, when Israel flees, he calls, or when the armies of the Antichrist or the Mahdi go after him. By the way, how big is that army? How big is that army? 200 million. That Bible says it's 200 million. People used to talk in the old theology and the old ideas of this, the Roman Empire being revised and all of that. Roman Empire wasn't the last empire, people. That was the sixth empire. It wasn't the seventh. Okay? They said that the army was going to come out of China because that was the only place big enough. How many Muslims are there in the world? 1.2 to 1.5 billion. Do you think they could get a 200 million man army up? Coming out, what is east of Jerusalem, by the way? Arabia. It's not China. But we all said this. And where is Meshach, Tubal, and all of these places? Is that Russia? No, where is it?
Turkey.
Got geography all scrambled up, didn't they? Okay. Then the Lord is going to save. The Jesus of Islam is going to kill all the Jews, then kill all the Christians, and break all religions except for his, and then bring in that last caliphate that it says there in the book of Revelation. That this is going to be the world caliphate of this Antichrist. At the end of this period of time, what's going to happen? There's going to be a lot of people killed. 5 out of 6 people is going to be killed. The Lord is going to kill a whole bunch of these people, of these Islamic people, or the Antichrist army. Let's just believe the Quran and say it's them. Like they say, okay? That's what they say is going to happen. They're going to kill them. The Mahdi is going to be 40 years old when he begins to rule. He's going to be a reluctant ruler, but there's going to be people that swear allegiance to him, and they'll go out and they begin to kill the Jews. What is every Islamic nation around Israel, what did they want to do? Kill the Jews. When Israel became a nation, May the 14th, 1948, what happened the next day? 5 Arab nations attacked them. They didn't want it. What happened? 5 Arab nations got fooled. It wasn't them that did it, yes, young lady.
It was May what?
May 14th, 1948.
1948.
Yeah, 1948. See, that was back in my time still. I was around here when that happened. All right. Young, but I was here. Yes. Right.
When is it, this concerns the Jews, and I imagine it's in there, but I just wondered if it happened in the first 3.5 years or the second 3.5 years.
That last 3.5 years is called Tribulation the Great.
Okay, well, no, what I'm about to ask you, I mean, or if you know, if this is, if I've got this correct, when I'm going to call the two...
The two witnesses.
The two witnesses, that's it.
I don't know who they are.
But you know when they are.
Well, it tells you when they are. They're going to stand up. They're going to be in Jerusalem, in that city. Okay? And they're going to curse people. They're going to do all kinds of stuff, whoever they are. Now, I can go in if you go to the Kingdom of God studies and go back there where it says the two witnesses, I will tell you who the two witnesses could be. What? In the Kingdom of God studies, there's 60 studies. And that's toward the end. That's like from about 41 on, 38 on, or something like that, 37 on. That's all Revelation. By the way, it's the best Revelation study I ever did. I've done a lot of them, but that's the best I ever did. All right. Jesus saves the Jews here. He stopped the army, the flood of that great 200 million man army. The whole bunch of them was going to be killed by Jesus. Okay? Now, Issa of the Islam is going to kill all the Jews. The Jesus of the Bible is going to save them. Okay? That's two opposites, isn't it?
Yeah, where they say the rock cries out there.
He's going to kill all the Jews, and then he's going to kill all the Christians. There'd only be one religion. Muhammad said only one religion can exist in this world. That's Islam. And they say Islam means peace, don't they? It don't mean peace. Is there any Islamic nation where there's peace? Is there? What does Islam mean? What does Islam mean? What does Islam mean? It means to surrender. There is no peace until they surrender. What does the word shalom mean?
Peace.
Huh?
Agreement.
Agreement. There is no agreement until, no peace until we have agreement. Okay? Shalom. And they say, unless you agree with us, there is no peace. That's it. And they will push it, and they will push it, and they will push it until they get it. And are they doing it? Is it present tense right now? This isn't future. This is present tense, okay? And at the end of the week, we have the Epiphania. That's where we are here in 4 and 8. Let's read that again. For the ones remaining, there is laid up for me the crown, the Stephanos. By the way, that word crown there, that is by right of birth there. That's not diadema. Diadema. This is Stephanos. The name Stephen comes from this word. Or Stephanie is also from this word. Stephanie is a feminine. Stephen is a masculine word that comes from, name that comes from the, which he shall render, he shall give back, he shall hand over to me, the Lord, in that day. All right, now that day is here. We're judged here. All the children of God are judged here. Now, the tribulation saints are judged on a different group, total different separate people. Okay? They are a separate people. They are different kinds of rewards. In heaven, there's all kinds of different stages and different groups of people, believe it or not. I know everybody just goes to heaven and everybody's heaven and that's it. Forget about, just get saved, forget about all the rest of it. You heard that? Preach Jesus only. You need to learn a little bit more than that. Because there's reasons why you do things today. This is the Epiphania coming right here. These here in the tribulation period, they're begging God to come back, aren't they? The tribulation saints, the ones that died, the ones that were beheaded for the name, for the witness of Jesus, their souls are crying out from the altar of God, it says. How long are you going to wait? And what did the Lord tell them? A little longer, a few more of you people have to die. Right? A little longer, a few more of you people have to die. And then the Lord comes back in His on that white horse in Revelation, the 19th chapter. And by the way, he has an army with him. Who is that army? Huh? Ah, there. We are. We're the army. We're riding white horses also with white clothes on. And what kind of weapons do we have with us? We don't have anything. No weapons. We don't need any weapons. We're there for one reason. What?
Witness.
To witness the beauty and the glory of our Savior. And what's he got? What kind of weapons does he have? Revelation 6 and 1, he had a crown and he had a bow and all these things. What weapons does Jesus have? He said, out of his mouth come a sharp two-edged sword. That means a double-bladed sword. That is figure of speech. He's not coming out with that sword in his mouth. We will slay them with his words. Slay. Wham! They're dead. They are not. All unbelievers right here are going to be killed. All of them are going to be killed. And their souls will go to Hades. Hades. All of them. There's going to be a couple of people in the hell fire. You remember who those people are? Who's going to get to go to hell first? Hell and Hades, two different places.
Satan.
Yes.
Is it Satan and the beast?
The beast and the false prophet. Don't go there. Beast and the false prophet will be the first inhabitants of hellfire. The false prophet, the beast and the false prophet. Yeah, that's the Mahdi or whatever. By the way, in Genesis, the third chapter, in verse 15, what do we have? What kind of promise do we have there? Cindy? Genesis 3:15, that's the first promise of the Messiah, but what else is it?
Oh, he shall crush your heel.
Right.
All right. Now, God is talking, Jehovah himself is talking to the serpent, actually, that is embodied with the spirit of Satan. Mm-hmm. Satan's spirit goes into people sometimes. Mm-hmm. All right? He's embodied with the spirit of Satan. And God is telling him, he said, I will put hatred between your seed. Whose seed? Satan's seed. Is the devil going to have a son? Oh, yeah. Through a woman. He's going to procreate in the last days. That's the Antichrist. Now, the Mahdi, according to Islam, this is their own stuff, is going to be from a direct descendant of Fatima, Muhammad's daughter. And he will have in him the spirit of Muhammad. He's going to be the reincarnation of Muhammad. Okay? He's going to start ruling when he's 40 years old, just like Muhammad. Everything like Muhammad. The Bible says that there will be an Antichrist on this earth and it's going to be a son of Satan. Remember Rosemary's Baby and all this, Damien and what's all that other stuff? This is really real. This is really going to happen. It may have already happened. Okay? may have already happened. There are many bodies that have risen up in Islam and say, I'm the one. Am I correct or not? All over the place. There are people in America that have risen up and said they're Jesus. Haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have.
Well, if you have to say, I mean, if he's got to be 40 when this starts,
could he be here today? He might be 39 and 39 years, 11 months old. I don't know.
Born yet, then it's at least 40 years.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that time.
No, I thought you said he has to be 40. So if he's not born yet, he needs to be 40.
He didn't say he's not.
What do you think? Do you think he might be alive today? Is it possible? Like I said, he might be 39 years, 11 months old. Or 39 years, 11 months, and 29 days old or something. Who knows? It's going to happen. The Bible says it's going to happen. Islam just copycats and says it's going to happen. Everything bad in the Bible, Islam copycatted. Islam always says, the Muslims always say, the Bible is corrupted. You can't trust the Bible. Yeah, the Bible is corrupted. It's called the Quran. That's what it is. It's corrupted. All right, let's go on there. The Epiphania. The coming here now.
Answer that question.
What?
You asked me a question about Genesis 3:15.
Oh, yes.
It's a promise of the Savior.
The promise of the Savior and a promise of the seed of Satan.
Yes.
The first promise is the seed of Satan.
Okay.
And the second promise is of Jesus through Mary. The other one is going to be a woman that brings forth this devilish child. Okay, let's go on a little further. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. This is the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. This is the first resurrection. By the way, this is this resurrection over here. If they might have it here, and they might say it's there. I don't think it's here at all. I don't think it's possible. They're going to hear a trumpet. They're going to hear the voice of the archangel. They're going to hear the Jesus. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with those in the clouds. When the dead in Christ get up about eye level or a little above where the saved living can see it, they're going to witness the resurrection of the dead. They're going to say, yay! And then all of a sudden, they're going to go up too. Just like that. Whisk all the way. And that's what we call the parousia coming. And then there will be an epiphany coming. And that's when Jesus comes back, Revelation, the 19th chapter. As the Adonai Ha'adonaim. Adonai Ha'adonaim. What is that one there, Cindy? Adonai Ha'adonaim. Adonai, King of Kings. Kyrios. Kyrios. Ton Kyrion. Basileia. Ton Basileion. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our Savior. That's our Jesus. Trumpet of God. Then we all alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and there we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's go back and read this text that we had tonight as we jumped off, because I couldn't just go past this text. Okay? We couldn't jump over this thing. We had to look at what it says there. The righteousness judge not only. Sharon, do you have that in your Amplified right there in 2 Thessalonians? I mean, 2 Timothy 4 and 8. 2 Timothy 4 and 8. You want to come back here and read that in the Amplified Bible? We use that a lot. Amplified Bible is a pretty good translation. It's not perfect, but it's a pretty explanatory one.
As to what remains, henceforth there is laid up for me the victor's crown of righteousness for being right with God and doing right, which the Lord... The righteous judge will award me and recompense me on that great day, and not me only, but also to all those who have loved and yearned for and welcomed his appearing.
All right. That's what we're talking about. Did you like this class tonight? Did you get something out of it? We only got one verse in the Greek. We did that once or twice so far. We're going to do it. We're almost there. What would you like to do next? Yeah. We might just go zoom. We might just go zoom real fast for the rest of it, because it's not much there except names and things, okay? Start talking about personal things. Here. This one was a good, good, good verse to bounce off into the Epiphany and the Parousia. What do you want to do next? You want to do Titus?
I want to do Greek.
Do you want to do 2 Corinthians?
We did first, didn't we?
We did first, yes.
Yeah, or Titus, one of the
things. 2 Corinthians or Titus? I know you like to get into the Greek. That girl likes the languages. We have to tell you what's here, though, too, sometimes. This is what we do. We chase little rabbits now and then. I know you like to study the language. We got several to do that. And all over the world they do, too, because people will hit this class tonight, zip, just like that, when it goes out. All right. Any questions before I turn you loose on the world? Nothing? Terry, thank you. Good to have your friend Megan here with us tonight.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
You said stage 3 of stage 5 takeover.
Yeah.
Can you outline the 5 stages?
That would take a whole class.
I have a big question mark.
All right. What they do is they are settlers. They send people into a country. They will not amalgamate into a country. They demand their own rights. They demand their own law system. In America, we have a constitution, don't we?
Mm-hmm. We did.
We did have one, yeah.
It's still there.
Just no paid citizen to it at all. And they go in there and they settle. They go in and they build big mosques because Islam builds these mosques, and the mosque is built on holy ground. And Islam all over the world will protect and defend that mosque. So we're going to face all of these 1.5 million. That's when they come up in any country, in France, in the Netherlands, Germany, wherever they are. Remember when Germany did a little something to them and they crashed his airplane? Kill a lot of people. This is what we call terrorism. Muhammad said, strike terror in the hearts of the unbelievers. That's what you do. That first stage is to settle. The second stage is to begin to set up Islamic law in neighborhoods. All right? And then stage 3 is where we are. Begin to get your people into government places. Get them up there in lawmakers. We have that already, don't we? All right? Now 4 and 5 is just going boom, like that real fast. Boom. Over there. All right, you ready to go? Anything?